Welcome. Today, we're discussing an interesting content about something that sounds like great news on the surface, but might be storing up some serious trouble. The fact that economic recessions have become ultra rare.
Wait, really? How can a lack of recessions be a bad thing? I thought we all agreed they were, you know, terrible. Weren't they something to be avoided at all costs?
That's the conventional wisdom, absolutely. And nobody is arguing for the human cost of a downturn. But this is about the long-term health of the economy. Historically, recessions were incredibly common. From 1300 to 1800, Britain was in a recession almost half the time.
Half the time? That is wild. I can't even imagine that kind of volatility.
Exactly. It was a cycle of crashing downturns and storming recoveries. But as capitalism matured and policymaking got better, they became less frequent. Now they're like an endangered species. Think about it. Despite a global pandemic, trade wars, hot wars, and soaring interest rates, the global economy has just kept chugging along.
That's true. It does feel like we've dodged a lot of bullets recently. So what's the catch? Why is this a problem?
A catch has a name, creative destruction. It's an idea from the economist Joseph Schumpeter. He argued that recessions, while painful, serve a vital purpose. They act like a detox for the economy.
A detox? How so? What's it cleaning out?
It cleans out the inefficiency, the flab. During a downturn, failing firms finally go under. Capital and workers are forced to move from unproductive jobs to more promising, more productive ones. The argument is that contemporary capitalism has grown a bit, well, fat. Think of all the jobs that produce little of lasting value.
I see. So it's short-term pain for long-term gain. The article even says great companies are born in recessions, right? Like Apple and Microsoft in the 70s or Uber in 2009. Entrepreneurs trying revolutionary ideas when they have nothing to lose.
Exactly. And we saw a perfect real-world example in 2020. Europe tried to prevent a downturn by protecting every job with furlough schemes. The US, on the other hand, let jobs die, but gave people a ton of cash.
That sounds brutal, but what was the result?
The result was that American workers reallocated. They moved. They went to where the demand was growing. And the numbers are stunning. Labor market reallocation in America was twice as high as in Europe. And since 2019, American labor productivity is up 10%, while the EU's is up just 2%.
Wow, okay, that's a powerful argument. But hold on, I can't shake the feeling that this is romanticizing recessions. Weren't there times when they were just destructive, with no creative upside? What about the 2008 financial crisis, or Japan's lost decade?
You've hit on the critical risk. You are absolutely right. It's not a guarantee. That's the problem. Recessions are always painful, but they're not always cleansing. In Japan, after its bubble burst, weak banks just kept rolling over loans to failing companies, keeping them alive. That recession didn't cleanse anything. It just created stagnation.
And 2008.
Even worse, research shows that the 2007 to 2009 recession actually ushered in a long period of exceptionally low reallocation. It was all pain, no gain. So politicians face a dilemma. The next downturn could be a healthy detox like 2020. Or a productivity-destroying disaster like 2008. So what do they do?
They try to avoid them altogether, I guess. Which brings us back to where we started.
Precisely. We're now in an age of what the article calls bailouts for everyone. The moment there's a hint of trouble, governments and central banks just open the financial floodgates. The energy shock in 2022? European governments spent 3% of GDP to help out. Silicon Valley Bank collapsed. Uncle Sam guaranteed the deposits. There's always a safety net.
So this constant intervention, this refusal to ever let the economy have a downturn, is creating its own set of problems. Bigger problems, maybe?
Much bigger, potentially. The article outlines three massive growing risks: financial, fiscal, and allocative. They all stem from this new reality.
Okay, break those down for me. What's the financial risk?
It's called disaster myopia. When you go a long time without a big downturn, people literally forget that bad things can happen. They forget that risk is real. So they load up on risky assets.
Ah, like the frenzy around AI companies right now. Or what the text mentioned about households pouring money into the stock market. $3 trillion in recent years? That's a record inflow, isn't it?
A massive record. A third of American household assets are now in the stock market, an all-time high. People just assume the line will always go up. When a real correction finally happens, the pain will be immense.
Okay, that's scary. What's risk number two? The fiscal risk.
The cost. All these bailouts are incredibly expensive. Public debt in the rich world is at its highest level since the Napoleonic Wars.
The Napoleonic Wars? You're kidding. And that's not even counting the hidden debt, is it? The contingent liabilities?
That's the real ticking time bomb. Government guarantees on bank deposits, mortgages, student loans, all these unfunded promises. In the U.S., it's over $130 trillion, nearly five times the country's entire GDP. What happens when multiple industries need that bailout at the same time?
The system breaks. Okay, I'm sufficiently terrified. What's the third risk, the allocative one?
This one might be the most insidious. It leads to the rise of zombie firms.
Zombie firms. I love it. So these are companies that are basically the walking dead of the corporate world? This should have failed, but just keep shambling on.
You've got it. Persistently unprofitable companies that survive because of benign economic conditions, and banks that are happy to extend and pretend on loans. And their numbers are growing. They used to think it was just because of low interest rates, but even as rates have risen, so have the ranks of the undead.
And they're dangerous because they trap capital and workers in unproductive places, right? They hoard resources that better, healthier companies could use to grow. They prevent that creative destruction.
Exactly. They drag down the whole economy. In industries with more zombie firms, healthy firms actually exit the market faster and new entry rates are lower. It's a slow creeping poison for productivity.
So it's a paradox. We've become so successful at preventing short-term economic pain that we're creating these huge, systemic, long-term risks that could cause a much, much bigger crisis down the line.
That is the heart of the issue. The success of stabilization policy has created its own vulnerabilities. If governments are determined to prevent every downturn, they absolutely must be just as determined to find other ways to encourage that constant turnover of companies and jobs. Otherwise, we're just managing a slow drift into stagnation, propped up by ever larger doses of fiscal support. At best, it's stasis. At worst, it's a cliff. A huge thank you to our listeners for tuning in, and we'll see you next time.
Goodbye.